We're continuing with the mitzvah of Mechiyas HaMolek, and we mentioned once in the past the Mechilta at the end of Parshas B'Shalach, in the name of Rab Lozer Mahamodoi, Nishba HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Kisei HaKovid Shalo, Yemaniach Nin V'Neched Shal HaMolek Tachas Kol HaShamayim. Shalom Yomru Gamal Zeh Shel Amolek, Rochel Zeh Shel Amolek. This is a separate chiddush here, a ribui of Rabbi Lozer Amodoi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes a shvua, even vis-a-vis Nin V'Neched Shel Amolek, that they'll be destroyed. And addition is the behemos. Now, what's the chiddush here of Nin V'Neched? L'chor Nin V'Neched has the same status as Amalek. Why do we need this Nishba HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Kisei HaKovid? And also, when it comes to the Gamal of Amalek, why does he need to dramatize and say Shel Yomru Gamal Zeh Shel Amalek? After all, if there's a mitzvah Mechiyas HaMolek, it should include Nin V'Neched, it should include Gamal v'Rachel, the animals as well. And the way that Rabbi Elazar HaModoi combines it and he presents it together in one breath, both Nin v'Neched Shel HaMolek and the behemoths of HaMolek, what's the connection between the two? So we want to see a sugya in Kiddushin on Daf Samach Zayin Amud Beis, Ravin in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. And the principle that's established in that sugya is Be'umos Halach Achar HaZochar. Now, what does this mean? So the Gemara, to clarify, this quotes a Braisa, and we're talking about a case of a member of one of the Umos HaOlam who's not one of the Zion Amimim, and he has a relationship with a Knanis or any of the other six Amamin, a woman, and they have a son. And the Braisa establishes that you're allowed to take that child as an Eved. No, there's no mitzvah of Lo Sechaya Kol Neshama. The child is not considered a Knani, he's not considered Mizayin Umos, because his father is from the Umos HaOlam, not the Knanim. And the Braisa derives this from a pasuk, V'gam mipnei toshavim hagorim imochem mehem tiknu yochalaf haknani shebal achas min ha'umos. What happens if a male Knani fathers a son from a woman who comes from another nation, not from the Zion Amamin? Is Yochel, I might think, Shatar Rashoy L'Knoso B'Eved, that this son, insofar as his mother is not from the Zion Umos, maybe his Yichus is to his mother, Tamalom Rashel Halidu B'Artzechem Minan Olodim B'Artzechem V'lo Minan Gerim B'Artzechem. In other words, when it comes to the determination of the yichus of a child from two different non-Jewish nations, then it's the father that is koveh the yichus. Rashi says over there in Kiddushin, minayin le'echad min ha'umos sheba'olam she'enam min ha'umos shel Eretz Yisrael she'nemar ha'kosav aleihem she'omar ha'kosav aleihem lo tzchaya kol neshama sheba'ol knanis she'i b'chal lo tzchaya So since the father in this case is from another nation, therefore the child is not considered miuchas to his mother, who's a knainis, and he doesn't come under the mitzvah lo sechaya kol neshama. Talmud lomar, and this derived from v'gam mibnei atoshavim shemolidim min haknanis mehem tiknu hareisha b'umos yeshna halacha. We see clearly from Rashi and from the sugya that the principle formulated here by the Gemara is that with regard to Yumas Olam, Havlad Holech Achar HaZochar. And therefore, as far as the mitzvah of Hachrim Tachrim, the mitzvah of Los Chai Kol Neshama and Zayin Amimim, everything depends upon the father. So if the father comes from one of the Umos HaOlam and he has a relationship with one of the women of Zayin Umos, of Canaan, the Vlad is Mutalach Yoso because the father comes from Umos HaOlam. And the reverse case, where a male member of the Zayin Amimim has a child through a woman from the Umos HaOlam, the child comes under his Miuchus, his father comes under the Din of Zayin Amimim and the Halach of Lo Sechaya Kol Neshama. And the question is, with regard to Mechias HaMolek, shall we assume the same principle applies and everything depends upon the father? Or should we say maybe with regard to Mechias HaMolek, even if the father doesn't have the Yichus to HaMolek, but the mother has a Yichus to HaMolek, the child comes under the mitzvah Mechias HaMolek? And when we get back to the Mechilta that we started with, that's the special ribui of Lo Yaniach Nin V'Neched Shel HaMolek, meaning it's not that the Nin V'Neched has the status of HaMolek technically, but rather even though the father, for example, is not an HaMoleki, and the mother is from Zer HaMolek, that's enough to generate a chiyuv of Mechias HaMolek vis-a-vis the child of this marriage, because with regard to HaMolek, anything that's associated with HaMolek, in this case the mother is Miuchas to HaMolek, that's enough to engender the mitzvah Mechias HaMolek. And this is what it means in the Mechilta, the Vlad is a Nin V'Neched HaMolek. And here the Mechilta dramatizes by saying Shlo Yomru. They won't say this child is from HaMolek. And the same the same halacha applies to behemos of HaMolek, that they won't say, oh, this Gamal, this Rachel belongs to HaMolek. That's a total Mechi of HaMolek. The only problem is that the Rambam, of all places, in the Mor Nevuchim writes that if the father is not from HaMolek and only the mother is from HaMolek, there's no Chiva Mechias Zara. And is it possible that the Rambam only means that there are two halachas in Mechias HaMolek? There's one Mechias HaMolek B'Toras HaMolek, when he technically is Miuchas HaMolek. And there's another din of a broader association, a broader scope mitzvah of Mechia, that applies even to Nin V'Neched through the mother who's an HaMolekis, and to Behemos of HaMolek. See, here in this Sefer Gvuras Yitzchok, he has a whole simon on the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMolek and Mechias HaMolek. So maybe we'll, for a few minutes, we'll each touch on this. He quotes the Sefer Achinuch, Mitzvah Tofresh Yitzchok. Nitztaveinu Lizkar Masha Asa HaMolek LiYisrael. So we've been commanded to remember what HaMolek perpetrated against the Jewish nation. And then he goes on to say, with regard to this mitzvah of Zechiras HaMolek, no heges mitzvah zubuchal mako osman bizcharim, but v'lon lo b'nikevis. Why? Ki lizcharim lahem lasos hamilchama v'nikmas ha'oyev v'lo l'noshim. The Rav Zichron of Vakka used to always point out from this chinuch that the mitzvah of Zechira is an introduction to the mitzvah of Melchama, of Mechias HaMolek. So the two mitzvahs are interdependent, and insofar as a woman is not included in the mitzvah of Mechias HaMolek as a mitzvah of Melchama, she's therefore not included in the mitzvah of Zechira. The Menachas Chinuch asks the following question, and I think elsewhere the Rav talks about this question as well.
I don't understand.
And what's the catch of the Menachas Chinuch? The Mishnah says in the Sechta Sota, Daf Mem Dalet of the Beis, Afilu Isha Yotzeis Michupas, even Kala Yotzeis Michupas, for a Melchemes Mitzvah. Now, if we assume, which seems to be a fair, a fair assumption up front, that HaMolek is a Melchemes Mitzvah, then women should be included in the mitzvah and the obligation of destroying HaMolek.
The Rambam is outspoken, and he writes in Perek Zayin Milchus Melachim, Hakol Yotzim, Melchemes Mitzvah Kol Yotzim, Afilu Chason Michedro Mekala Michuposa. So even a Kala goes out to Melchemes Mitzvah. Again, the Rambam doesn't explicitly mention in this context, in Perek Zayin, that Melchemes HaMolek is Melchemes Mitzvah, but it's safe to assume so because of the Rambam earlier in Perek Hay, when the Rambam speaks about the mitzvah to appoint a melech and the mitzvah of the melech to go out to milchama, and the Rambam includes Zayin Amimin and Amolek in that mitzvah, and the Rambam sets up a separate category that with regard to milchama's mitzvah, the melech doesn't have to ask rishus from Beis Din. He could be kofes ha'am lotzeis, and that's clear. The unique status of this category called Melchemes Mitzvah is that the Melech doesn't have to ask Rishus. And in this category, the Rambam places the Mitzvah of Zayin Amimin, the Mitzvah of Melchemes Amolek. Clearly, the Rambam is outspoken about the fact that Melchemes Amolek is Melchemes Mitzvah. And if so, when we go back to the Rambam and the Mishnah in Sota before the Rambam, then if you call it Michupasa, it seems clear, therefore, that a woman is obligated to Melchemes Mitzvah. The Radbaz on the Rambam in Perek Zayin Milchus Melachim asks the following kashi. He says, how can you tell me that Kala Yotzeis Mechuposa? He says, V'chiderech Hanoshim Lasos Melchoma. And he answers that the women didn't actually go to the front lines, but rather Melchemes Mitzvah Hanoshim Ayim Mesafkos Mayim U'mozim Lepalehem. So it means they weren't the Lochamim, as we'd say today. They weren't the soldiers. So then maybe the chinuch could be justified when he says the women are not included in the mitzvah of Machias HaMolek, of Melchemes HaMolek, because they play a role behind the front lines. They're not really involved in Melchoma per se. And since the Sefer HaChinuch understands that the mitzvah of Zechira, morning Jerry, how are you? Shavua Tov. That the mitzvah of Zechira is an introduction to the mitzvah of Melchoma, then even though Kala Michupasa for Melchemes Mitzvah, that's only in the back lines of Safkas and Mayim Mubas, but it's not that the women are up front in Mulcham. Okay.
Yet women are obligated, so to speak, in the Kriyas, the Kriya, the one time when they are obligated.
In Zechir Sambol, our meaning is that the women should hear.
Yeah, they should hear.
But again, it's going to say for Chinuch it's not necessary because women are not obligated in Melchama. We know that women are obligated in Melchama. But you have to answer one of two things. Either Melchemes HaMolek is not a Melchemes Mitzvah, and that's clearly against the Rambam. Or alternatively, that although women have to go out to Melchemes HaMolek, they don't go out to the front line. So they're not really Chayavos in Melchama per se. They're obligated in the more general endeavor, the war effort, so to speak, but they're not soldiers. Okay, Rabbi, so let's go back to Masechta Megillah. And we're on the Mishnah Daf Ches Amid Beis. And the sugi going on to Daf Tes Amid Aleph. And the subject of this Mishnah is a comparison, what we call compare and contrast, that's what Ein Bein is all about, between Sfarim, meaning Sifrei Torah on the one hand, and on the other hand, Tefillin and Mezuzah. And basically the Mishnah presents one basic difference between the two, and that is, can the Sefer, or the Tefillah Mezuzah, can it be written in Kol Lashon? And the answer is, it depends. If you're talking about Sfarim, Sifrei Torah, it could be written B'Kol Lashon. We'll soon see that according to Rava and the Sugya, that means that although the Ksav is a Ksav Ashuris, but nevertheless the language itself is a foreign language. In the case of Tefillin, in the case of Mezuzah, here we must have Lashon Kodesh. We must have Ashuris, not only in the Ksav, but even in the Lashon. So you can't translate Tefillin, the parashas of Tefillin or Mezuzah, into a different language and write them in Ashuris. Then the Mishnah presents a machlokus between Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Tanakhama, whereas the Tanakhama of that Mishnah holds that Sfarim, Sifrei Torah, can be written in any language. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds, no, it can only be written in one foreign language, other than Lashon Kodesh, and that's Yevonis. The Gemara is going to drive Rav Shimon Gamliel that halacha from a pasuk. Now, with regard to Sfarim, what is the subject of our Mishnah? So we have three basic shitas. We touched on it yesterday. I just want to give you a quick review today. The Ramban holds that we're talking about the status of a Sefer Torah for Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. The Ran says it doesn't make any sense for the Mishnah to compare Sfarim on the one hand to Tefillin or Mezuzah on the other hand with regard to Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, because there's no parallel in Tefillin and Mezuzah. We should find some sort of common ground and then go on and compare and contrast. But with regard to Kriya B'Tzibur, there's no such mitzvah as Kriya B'Tzibur with regard to Tefillin and Mezuzah. Therefore, the Ran substitutes a different common denominator, which is the subject of our Mishnah. The subject of our Mishnah is not whether the Sefer would be kosher if it was written B'chol Lashon, but rather the question is, would there be a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, which is one of the Tariq mitzvahs? And the Ran presents the following machlokas, that the following distinction, I should say. With regard to Sefer Torah, you could be mekayim the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, even though the Lashon was Lashon Umasa'ola. With regard to Tefillin Mezuzah, the whole mitzvah is to set up Tefillin that you wear, and tzitzis that you wear, and that only applies if it's written B'Lashon Ashuris. So the entire thrust of our Mishnah and the distinction between Svarim and Tefillin Mezuzah is only related, according to the Ran, to the mitzvah of Ksiva. Do we have a mitzvah of Ksiva? Now, the Achronim are not happy with this, because our Gemara is going to apply the Mishnah of Sfarim not only to Chamisha Chumshei Torah, but even to Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Now, with regard to Nevi'im and Ksuvim, we don't really have a mitzvah of Kriya B'Tzibur. So, What I meant to say was, Bishleim, according to the Ramban, that you're talking about Kriya B'Tzibur. So we have Kriya B'Tzibur with Nevi'im, and that's Haftorah. So we have Kriya B'Tzibur with regard to Ksuvim and the Megillos. But when it comes to the Ran's understanding that we're talking about a mitzvah l'kosvam, so the Achronim claim that there is no mitzvah l'kosvam with regard to Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Now, the 613th mitzvah of Taryag is writing Chamisha Chumshei Torah, but not Nevi'im and Ksuvim. So therefore, if the whole thrust of the Mishnah is to tell you, did you fulfill the mitzvah of Ksiva when you wrote it in another language, it doesn't make sense to apply that to Nevi'im and Ksuvim, where there is no mitzvah to write it at all. And this leads us to the third approach to our Mishnah, which is perhaps the most revolutionary approach, and that's the Turi Evan of the Shagas Aryeh. He claims that our Mishnah has nothing to do with the kashrus of the Sfarim to fulfill the mitzvos, and he takes a sharp disagreement with the Ramban, who says that we're talking about the kashrus of the Sfarim. He seems to disagree even with regard to the Ran, because the Ran wants to say that if you write a Sefer Torah in another language, then you are mekayim the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. The Turi Evan rejects that. And according to the Turi Evan, a Sefer Torah that was written B'chol Lashon would not be a fulfillment of the mitzvah. So what is the subject of our Mishnah? And to what extent are we upgrading the status of a Sefer B'chol Lashon? And he says the following. The mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah has to do with creating a Sefer Torah. Our Mishnah is talking about an entirely different mitzvah. A mitzvah of Talmud Torah. What do we mean? So there's a whole sugya in Gittin on Daf Samach about how to teach Torah. We're talking about Torah Shebichsav to Tinokos. And the question in the Gemara in Gittin, and the Gemara quotes a controversy over this, is whether or not you could write parshios of the Torah, meaning separate segments and parts of the Torah, simply for the purpose of teaching Torah. So I don't have the ability right now to write an entire Sefer Torah for the sake of teaching Torah. You have to keep in mind in those days they didn't have printed Sfarim the way we do. So am I permitted to write a the lesson for today. You know, we're up to the first parsha of Vayechi. Can I write that down on a sefer in order to teach children? So the Gemara offers two opinions, and the Turi Evan says that we're going to go with the final maskana that it's osur, that we don't write parashios, separate parashios of the Torah. When are we allowed to write parashios of the Torah, in other words, individual segments without the entire Torah? That's only for the sake of the mitzvah of tefillin or the mitzvah of mezuzah. But let's say, for example, if you were to write the parasha of tefillin or the parasha of mezuzah simply for teaching purposes, that would be awesome. Because within the context of teaching, you need the entire Sefer Torah. You can't break it down into parashios. So therefore, the final maskana is that parashios of tefillin and mezuzah can only be written for the purpose of the mitzvah. Now, whenever we're dealing with the mitzvah, we have halach that has to be written ber loshon hakodesh. What our Mishnah wants to set up as a contrast with regard to Sefer Torah. We're talking about a case where he writes the entire Sefer Torah, but not for the sake of the mitzvah of Sefer Torah, but rather for the sake of teaching Torah. And here there's a gevaldig chiddush, that if your mitzvah is not writing a Sefer Torah, creating a Sefer Torah, but rather teaching Torah, then with regard to Sfarim, you're allowed to write it in any language. Why? Because the whole purpose here is not for reading the Torah publicly or for being Mekayim the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah and having a Sefer Torah in your possession. No, leave that all out. It's only for the purpose of teaching Tinokos. So if you wrote the entire Sefer Torah for the purpose of teaching the Tinokos and you wrote it B'chol Lashon, that's okay. That's perfectly okay. In tefillin and mezuzah, says the Mishnah, that's impossible. To write tefillin and mezuzah for the purpose of lelamed, that by definition is prohibited because it's parashios parashios. So we don't write separate parashios for the purpose of teaching. So the only justification for writing tefillin and mezuzah is for the sake of the mitzvah. And for the sake of the mitzvah, you need Lashon Kodesh. In the case of Sefer Torah, although I would certainly need Lashon Kodesh for the sake of the mitzvah, or for the sake of the kashrus of the Sefer for Kriya B'tzibur, but nevertheless there's another justification for writing a Sefer Torah, for writing the entire Sefer Torah from cover to cover, and that's in order to teach Torah. And here, the Mishnah establishes that since I can create a Sefer Torah simply for the purpose of teaching, I'm allowed to write it B'chol Lashon.
Very creative, but...
Very creative. I mean, it's really lumpish, you know, that there's the two categories of Ksiva Sefer Torah. Now, the Beis Yitzchak of Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan, he disagrees with the Shagas Aryeh, and he's of the opinion that our Mishnah establishes that you can fulfill the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah b'chol lashon, and in that sense, he belongs to the camp of the Ran that we said before. But at the end of the day, we do have a machlokas. Again, it's an odd way of formulating the machlokas, because you have the Ran on the one hand, and then you have the Shagas Aryeh and the Turi Evan on the other hand, as to whether or not you could be Makai the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah by writing B'chol Lashon. Now, what was the last topic that we covered yesterday? Just to review. And this is a very important topic, not just for our Mishnah of Svarah, but as we go forward in Ein Bein. How do we understand Ein Bein? The Ritva says that Ein Bein allows for what's called Tana Vashir, which means that Ein Bein doesn't tell me that this is the exhaustive difference between X and Y. There may be other differences. The Mishnah chose one difference. And the Ritva bases himself on a Gemara in Tainis, that even in a case of Ein Bein, we could still apply the principle of Tana Vashir, and there may be cases that are left out of the Mishnah. The Rashbah here in Megillah also accepts that principle, and he comes up with a difference that's not written in the Mishnah. He has an additional difference between Sefer Torah on the one hand and Tefillin of Mezuzah on the other hand, and that's what's called Kasva Kishira. So I'm not going to go over that now. We had a long discussion about this yesterday. The Rabban has another distinction between Sefer Torah on the one hand and Tefillin Mezuzah on the other, and that's called Kotzo Shel Yud. And there's a Sugi Menachos on Daf Chav Tes that says that Tefillin Mezuzah, if it's missing Kotzo Shel Yud, it's Psula, meaning the Tefillin are Psula, so the Mezuzah is Psula. And the Ramban wants to know, does that same halach apply to a Sefer Torah if it's missing a kotzo shel yud? Oh. So the Ramban says that this depends on Ein Bein. If you understand Ein Bein as being exclusive, then we have to come to the conclusion that since the Mishnah only sets up Ein Bein with regard to Lashon, you know, Shaar Lashonos, then as far as Kotzo Shel Yud, there's an absolute equation between Sefer Torah and Tefillin Mezuzah. And this is all based on a Gzeirah Shava, so to speak. It's not really Gzeirah Shava, it's a Hekish, but an equation between Sefer Torah and Tefillin. The Ran says no. The Ran says that there's no din of Kotzo Shel Yud with regard to Sefer Torah. And keep in mind, according to the Ran's pshat, the subject of our Mishnah is the Kiyum Mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. Right? It's the Ran who broke new ground that you can fulfill the Mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah even B'chol Lashon. And now the Ran goes a step further and he says you could fulfill that Mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah even if you're lacking in the absence of a Kotzo Shel Yud. Why? Because he holds from Tana V'Shir. As he belongs to the same camp as the Ritva and the Rashba before the Ritva, that they hold that there may be other differences. Again, he has to ask himself the following question. So why is it that our Mishnah didn't bother telling me this din of Kotzo Shel Yud? I mean, it should have been there as well. And this is something that he works hard to explain. You know, if he leaves out a Kotzo Shel Yud, would he fulfill the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah? Oh. So I'll read to you the language here, the Ran. The Ran says that Mishnah Seinu, Mashva Sefer Torah, to tefillin mezuzah le'inyan mitzvahs min haTorah, kishem shechayev adam laniach tefillin v'lekvah mezuzah, again, this is the Ran Lashitosa that the subject of our mission is the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. In the case of Tefillin and Mezuzah, the mitzvah of writing Tefillin and Mezuzah so that we can fulfill those mitzvahs. And he wants to say the following, that there's a very complex halacha with regard to missing a letter or Kotzo Shel Yud as far as Sefer Torah is concerned. You can ask two questions with regard to this Sefer Torah that's missing a Kotzo Shel Yud. One question is, did I fulfill the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah? And the other question is, whether or not I could read publicly Kriya B'Tzibur from this Sefer Torah. And the difference between the two is that the first issue is Doraisa, the second issue is a Takonis Chachamim. It's a Drabana to read the Torah publicly. So he says the following, Le'inyan takonas kriyas b'tzibur is lo tiknu kein ela b'sefer Torah. He says the following, that it has a shem sefer Torah even if it's missing Kotzo Shel Yud, and therefore the Tan of our Mishnah didn't bother comparing and contrasting sefer Torah with Tefillin and Mezuzah, because that's already on the level of takonas chacham. And it would seem, therefore, from the Ran, that the din of Chaser Os, or Kotzo Shel Yud, applies to the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, meaning it's a precondition in the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. So let's explain. So the Ran is making a fundamental distinction, a bifurcation, if you will, between the Doraisa Halacha of Sefer Torah and the Darabonin Halacha of Sefer Torah. The Doraisa Halacha Sefer Torah is Kiyum Mitzvahs Ksiva Sefer Torah. And here we're going to apply the equation to Tefillin and Mezuzah. We're going to say that just like Tefillin and Mezuzah on a Doraisa level require even Kotzo Shel Yud, and in the absence of Kotzo Shel Yud it's Psula, so too by equation Sefer Torah, if it's missing a Kotzo Shel Yud, would also be possible. However, when you get down to a level of Darabanan, and we said before that according to the Ramban, the subject of our Mishnah is a mitzvah Darabanan of Kriya B'Tzibur. Comes along the Ramban and he says, Ein Bein, and Ein Bein is to be taken literally all the way, right, the full 9 yards, and therefore, says the Ramban, you cannot read a Sefer Torah publicly for the mitzvah Kriya Satorah if it's missing part of a letter. Comes along the Ramban, he says, no. Our Mishnah was only interested in the Doraisa level, in the mitzvah. And as far as the mitzvah is concerned, Ein Chinami, we have this equation, and certainly the Ramban is right, you need Kotza Shel Yud, even in the Sefer Torah. But as far as the Drabbanan level is concerned, namely Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, here's where the Ran disagrees with Ramban, and he's not going to apply the principle of Ein Bein. He's going to apply the principle of Tana Mashir, that the Tana left out these distinctions, which are only Drabbanan, and there is such a thing as a Sefer Torah for Kriyas HaTzibur, even if it's missing a Kotza Shel Yud. So let's just summarize. So far we have two differences between Sefer Torah and Tefillin which are not mentioned in that Mishnah. One is Kishira, and the other is, according to the Ran, if it's missing a Kotza Shel Yud vis-a-vis the Drabbanan Halacha of Kriya B'Tzibur. Here, there's a distinction between Sefer Torah on the one hand and Tefillin Mezuzah on the other. The third nafkamina we mentioned yesterday was gvil. What's a gvil? A gvil is the full thickness of the hide, the skin of an animal. And here's the difference between Sefer Torah on the one hand and Tefillin Mezuzah on the other hand. And this is Gemara Menachos. Tefillin, if it was written on a gvil, would be possible. What's the requirement of tefillin? We need what's called a klaf. Now what does that mean? They took the hide and they split it. And part of the skin had a din of a klaf, and the other part of the skin, which was towards the body, that had a different status. Let me just read it to you. He says the following: Hachelek hapnimi, hakarav lebasar, right? The inner part of the hide is called duch sustus. Try to get that word right. Duch sustus. And the part of the klaf that's on the outside is called a klaf. And herein lies the difference between tefillin and mezuzah. Tefillin requires what's called klaf. That's the outer side of the skin. Mezuzah requires duch sustus, which is the inner part of the skin. But both tefillin and mezuzah have one thing in common, and that is that gvil, meaning the entire thickness of the skin, would not be kosher. So Tosus in Masechta Menachos is very bothered by our Mishnah in Masechta Megillah. Why didn't our Mishnah mention this difference between Sefer Torah on the one hand and Tefillin Mezuzah? That Sefer Torah is kosher on a gvil, and Tefillin Mezuzah both are possible if you write them on a gvil. So Tosus gives an answer, and Eric attacked this answer yesterday. Tosus' answer is that our Mishnah is only interested in the writing of the Sefer Torah, but not in the object upon which the Sefer Torah is written. So therefore, if you're talking about the klaf of tefillin versus the gvil of Sefer Torah, that's not the subject of our Mishnah. No, it's Enochinami. That's included in Tana Mashir, because the Mishnah is only focused on the differences as far as the ksiva is concerned. So the ksiva of the Sefer Torah could be written in any language, whereas the ksiva of Tefillin Mezuzah has to be written B'Lashon Kodesh, B'Lashon Ashuris, correct? But other distinctions which have to do with the object upon which you write the Sefer Torah, that's not relevant to our Mishnah. So Eric asked a bomb kasha yesterday. The Mishnah itself says that there's a commonality between Sefer Torah and Tefillin Mezuzah with regard to Gidin for Tefirah, that you could only sew together the different parts of the Gevil of the Sefer Torah with Gidin of a Behemah Torah, but not with, Pishtan. So you see that the Mishnah is entering not only into the questions of Ksiva and the language of the Ksiva, but it's also entering into the question of how to prepare the cloth for the Gevil. So if that be the case, the Mishnah should have added this distinction between a gvil and a klaf. So that I tried to come up with something and I did not succeed. You know, that was at 12 midnight last night, but I did not come up with anything. Okay, so that's distinction number 3. Then we get to distinction number 4. And this is halacha called Ibud Lishma. The Rama Paskins that both Sefer Torah and Tefillin require Ibud Lishma. However, the Ram has a Gevaldige Chiddush that Mezuzah doesn't require Ibud Lishma. I suspect, by the way, just my own comment, that the reason why there's so much scandals going on with mezuzahs, I don't know if you've ever seen these, you know, they open up a mezuzah, they find like a...
photocopy.
Yeah, photocopy. So I have a feeling it all stems from this, from a misunderstanding of this Rambam, that the Rambam says that mezuzah doesn't require ibud lishma. The Kesef Mishnah tries to understand why mezuzah should be different.
Can you define ibud lishma?
Ibud lishma means that when you strip the animal of its hide, you have to do what's called ibud. You have to smoothen it out. Because an animal's hide, and it's, I don't know if you've ever visited a fill-in factory, I strongly recommend that you do so. There's one right outside Har Nof. It's called Oter Yisrael. So you'll see what the hide looks like in its natural state. I mean, there's no way you could write anything on it. So it needs what's called Ibud. Ibud is actually one of the 39 malachas on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. It's called, I think in the English it's called tanning. I'm sure. Don't quote me on that. So the question is, why does the Rambam alleviate the requirement of Ibud Lishma? Lishma meaning Lashem.
You have to do it. Okay, that's what I'm
right, saying. That the Ibud has to, you have to yell out. You know, like if you ever visit a matzah factory, Lashem, Matzah's Mitzvah.
So the Ibud has to be Lishma. Okay.
Right, Lishma and Sefer Torah and Lishma and Tefillah. The Rambam alleviates that requirement in the case of Mezuzah. So the Kesef Mishnah quotes a letter that the Rambam wrote to justify himself to the Chachmei Lonil, to the French Chachamim of his time. And the Rambam first of all points out that we find nowhere that in any Shas or Poskim or any place, any source, that the requirement of Ibud Lishma applies to Mezuzah. Again, the Kesef Mishnah is going to disagree with this vehemently, because he says you don't have to find the source, because all the laws of Tefillin apply to Mezuzah by definition. So if there's a requirement of Ibud Lishma in the case of Tefillin, then ipso facto it applies to Mezuzah as well. But in any event, the Rambam wrote this letter, and he says that number one, we don't find anywhere the requirement of Ibud Lishma in Mezuzah. But then the Rambam says something unbelievable. And again, Rav Osu, this would require hours of work to figure out the Rambam. The Rambam says that the mitzvah of mezuzah is fundamentally different than the mitzvah of tefillin. And why is that so? Because the mitzvah of mezuzah eina mitzvah chiyuvis, ela tluya b'bayis. Now it's tefillin, wherever you are on the face of the earth, you're obligated to wear tefillin. But in the case of mezuzah, if you have a bayis, then you're chayiv in the mitzvah of mezuzah. If you don't have a bayis, you're homeless, then you're not chayiv in the mitzvah of mezuzah. You're not even chayiv to buy a house in order to put up a mezuzah. So the Rambam is just pointing out, I think, that mezuzah, in a certain sense, is on a... Again, I don't know if this is a bad word to use, but it's on a lower level than tefillin. You know, tefillin is an absolute, unconditional obligation, whereas mezuzah is a kind of quasi-obligation. It's not really a full-fledged obligation. It's conditional on the fact that you have a bias. And I think the Rambam is pointing out that once you make this distinction between tefillin and mezuzah, then you have a right to say, well, any requirement in tefillin that's written in Shas, so I apply to tefillin, but I don't say if so facto it applies to mezuzah, because if there's no source for Ibud Lishma in mezuzah, then we assume there is no requirement of Ibud Lishma in mezuzah. And the Ramban goes ballistic over this Rambam, because he says, what are you going to do with our Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Ein Bein. And the Mishnah does not set up the distinction between tefillin and mezuzah. Now the Ramban is making one giant leap of faith over here. Our Mishnah is really focused on what? Between Sefer Torah vis-a-vis tefillin and mezuzah. The Ramban wants to go a step further, and he wants to say that the Mishnah should have made distinctions between tefillin and mezuzah. And therefore, according to the Ramban, there should have been an Ein Bein tefillin and mezuzah, or even lishma. That's really a fascinating thing. In any event, the Ramban is absolutely convinced that there's a requirement of Ibud Lishma in Sefer Torah. And it's interesting that although at this point there's no difference between the Rambam and the Ramban, but the Ramban has a source for this. In other words, the Ramban is not exercising the classical hekesh that's written in the Pasuk, because the Pasuk compares tefillin to Sefer Torah, but rather he says that the Pasuk in the mitzvah of Sefer Torah says kisvu lachem, and the word lachem means lishma. In other words, for the sake of the chova, for the sake of the mitzvah. Then the Ramban asks himself the following question. If the requirement of lishma in Sefer Torah is derived from the pasuk of Kisvu Lachem, you remember that pasuk, Kisvu Lachem Sashir Azos? I don't remember offhand where it is, it's somewhere in Dvarim. So then he says, well, Tefillin and Mezuzah don't have that pasuk of Kisvu Lachem. So the Ramban now asks himself the following question. So, you know, the whole premise we've been operating with is, until this point, is that Tefillin and Mezuzah certainly require Ibud Lishma. At least Tefillin for sure requires Ibud Lishma. Mezuzah is an issue. And therefore, Sefer Torah, insofar as it's equated to Tefillin, would also require Ibud Lishma. But now the Ramban is Hofech HaSakar Al Pio. He's turning everything upside down. Instead of starting with Tefillin, he starts the entire process with Sefer Torah. And he says that Sefer Torah requires Lishma because of the Pasuk Kisvu Lachem. So therefore the Ramban comes to the following radical conclusion. He also disagrees with the Ramban, but not as far as Mezuzah is concerned. He accepts the Ramban that Mezuzah doesn't require even Lishma, but he extends that to Tefillin. That even Tefillin doesn't require even Lishma. No, the mission is going to be a kasha. Okay, because
kasha, right.
Because again,
based on
if you're telling me the following, listen carefully. According to the Ramban, oddly enough, Sefer Torah requires even Lishma because of Kisvu Lachem, and Tefillin and Mezuzah don't require even Lishma. So why wasn't that included in the Ein Bein? So the Ramban comes up with a radical chiddush. He says our Mishnah is only interested in the chumras of Tefillin and Mezuzah and the coolness of Sefer Torah. And that is that Tefillin has to be written in Lashon Ashuris, in Lashon Kodesh, whereas Sefer Torah could be written in any language. But he says, now we came up with a Chumra in Sefer Torah, because Sefer Torah requires Ibud Lishma, and Tefillin Mezuzah, according to the Rambam, she does not require Ibud Lishma. That's already a Kula in Tefillin Mezuzah. That's outside the parameter of our Ein Bein.
Pretty wild. But how does he, I guess, connect? How does he connect? How does he then go from take that Ibud Lishma from Sefer Torah to Tefillin?
He's saying
it's not even required for
Tefillin. Right. That's the radical chiddush of the, you know, so we have three shittas. We have the Kesef Mitzvah shita that all three require Ibud Lishma. Correct? Even Mezuzah. We have the Rambam shita that Sefer Torah and Tefillin require Lishma, and Mezuzah doesn't require Lishma. Now we have a third sheet of the Ramban that Sefer Torah requires even Lishma, but Tefillin and Mezuzah do not require even Lishma. If that be the case, that's a perfect candidate for our mission of Ein Bein, to contrast Sefer Torah with Tefillin and Mezuzah. The answer is, our Ein Bein is only to set up a Chumrah in Tefillin and Mezuzah. But to set up a Kula in Tefillin and Mezuzah, that's not included in our discussion. Now, I'm about to embark upon a kasha of Rebbe Akiva Eiger, if you have the patience for this, but before I do so, I want to see what I can squeeze out of this Ramban that we just mentioned, that it only goes in one direction. Our mission is only talking about the chumras of Tefillin. Okay.
Does he say the chumras of Sefer Torah and Tefillin, or is chumras? Is it not talking about?
No, it's like this. It comes out according to the Ramban Shita that our mission is telling you that there's a contrast between Sefer Torah and Tefillin, because Tefillin is lechumra and has a strict requirement that does that, where Sefer Torah is lenient. The Ramban says there are other differences in which we go the other direction, which Sefer Torah has a requirement lechumra, which Tefillin doesn't have. But that's not within the purview of our mission.
Of the Mishnah. Okay.
So I want to sort of build on this Ramban. Something very interesting that I found here. Just give me a second here. Yeah, here it is. When you write Sefer Torah and Tefillin Mezuzah, are you allowed to just write it bal peh? Meaning the sofer has nothing in front of him. Or is required to copy it from another sefer. So this is a Gemara later on in Masechta Megillah on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. So I think if we get a little taste of it now, it'll make it easier when we get there. And the Gemara says the following, that a sofer is not allowed to write even one letter of a Sefer Torah from out of memory, But every single last letter in the Sefer Torah has to be written from a ksav, from a pre-written document. Again, we're not going into detail, but tefillin and mezuzah, af shalom ben aksav, imhev shguros befiv, meaning, you know, the sofer doesn't have to know all that to know how to write a mezuzah. He has it all in his mind. It's Kriya Shema anyway. He says it twice a day or three times. And tefillin also is not that complicated. So the halacha alleviates the requirement of bin aksav with regard to tefillin and mezuzah. So tefillin and mezuzah can be written bal peh, based on shguros befiv, meaning based on his memory, and tefillin not. So the Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan, right, the Beis Yitzchak, he asks the following question: why doesn't our Mishnah, the Ein Beis, include this distinction? So I was thinking that maybe the answer is based on this Ramban. Because then you're coming up with a kula in tefillin, and our Mishnah is only interested in chumis. I don't know if you got excited about that. At 12 midnight, you can get excited about anything. You know what I'm saying? But I certainly got excited about this.
Well, it certainly says that. It certainly means if you don't. It certainly, you know, if you're going ain bain, if it's exclusive or if it's kind of a shir, then it's clearly. That I don't understand. You know, why did anyone bring that up before? That's a clear difference.
I guess you know we'll have to see the sugya naf yud ches. I don't know if this is the maskara. I don't know. I can't answer that question. You know, Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan only lived 120 years ago. It's not like we're going back too far in history. So this nafgemina, I think, on our counting, meaning whether you could write it bal peh or not, would be number 5. So I want to end off with number 6. And this is Rabbi Kivega's kasha. Madu lo chilka mishnah bein sefer Torah on the one hand, and tefillin mezuzah on the other, le'inyan shelo kisidra. What does shelo kisidra mean? Let's say I leave a space, and I fast forward to a different parasha that's going to come later on, or psukim that are going to come later on, and then I fill in this space. That's called shelo kisidra. So there's a mechilta in Parshas Bo that says tefillin shenichtavu shelo kisidron psulos, and Rabbi Kivega quotes the poskim that the same din applies to mezuzah. So shelo kisidron undermines the kashus of the tefillin and the mezuzah. So if you skip a word and then after you finish that sentence or the next word over and then you go back and fill in the next word, it's possible. Ve'ilu b'sefer Torah shelo kisidron kasher. Now this is clearly a kula of Sefer Torah, and therefore it fits into the halacha of Golasha. Why was it left out of our Mishnah?
The problem with that is that we learned already that Megillah, if you don't write a Kesidron, it's possible.
Right, that's a special possible. Right. So you mean
so? But we were saying that according to Rashi, this is Torah Nevi'im Ketuvim. So that may be a okay.
So you gave one of. There are 5 answers to Rabbi Kivega's kasha. I just want to remember which one was your answer. Let's see. Oh, here it is. O Tirtu Achronim. Just if you want to know, you know, if you're a descendant of one of these Achronim, let's say you inherited the genes of the Rashash, the Teferis Yushalayim, the Marcheshes, and the Maril Diskin. I mean, that's really like a who's list over here. So they want to say the following. The Gemara says in Sota, on Daf Yud Zayin of Beis, that... Just one second. You know what? I may have made a big mistake here. Wait a minute. Where is Megillas Esther here? All right, so I jumped the gun on that group.
Okay.
We'll get back to your answer, but let me just, once I started it. So the Gemara in Sota says that Megillah Sota, and I'm pretty sure the same answer should apply to Megillah Esther, but anyway, Megillah Sota, the Gemara derives, requires Kisidron.
Is that Sefer Torah, or is that...
It's a parsha in the Sefer Torah.
So it's tefillin and mezuzah. So wouldn't that be more related to tefillin and mezuzah? So couldn't you say that's really in that category, because it's more where you're taking a piece out of the Sefer Torah.
No, you're right. You're right. We in a sense, we're taking a piece out of the Sefer Torah.
Therefore,
but it wouldn't be fair to make the statement that a Sefer Torah Shelo Kesidron is kosher, because there's one parsha in the Sefer Torah which has to be written Kesidron.
No, it has to be written Kesidron when it's written for the purpose of the Sota, though.
So that's a separate parsha.
Right, you're not actually writing the whole Sefer Torah.
So I have to add another point over here. Again, I don't have time now to go through each one of these paragraphs. So what I'm quoting here is based on memory. But the Gemara says that you're allowed to use a Sefer Torah for Parsha Sota. Give me just 1 minute. Maybe I'll find it very quickly. Again, I'm always under the gun here, because I'm always trying to balance, you know.
How would you do that? Cut it out?
I guess you'd have to cut it out. Again,
how'd you do that? We'll
look up this. If we get a chance, we'll look up the Gemara and Sota. Okay? But anyway, based on this halacha, that you're allowed to take the parasha of Sota from the Sefer Torah, the Gemara establishes in Masechet Sota, it's on Daf Chaf, so we're three blot away, four fast forward, that you have to write Megillah Sota in Dio, Sheyesh Bo Kan Kantum, which is, this is a requirement to Sefer Torah. And the question is why? I mean, Megillah Sota is, like you said before, Eric, is a separate parasha. Why are we applying the requirements of Dio Sheyesh Bo Kan Kantum, which is an application to Sefer Torah? And the Gemara answers that Ein Lahatil, you're not allowed to do this without the requirements of Dio in Ksivas Parsha Sota, because Parsha Sota can be taken from the Sefer Torah itself. So since Ben Adin Mutal Akachas Parsha Sota Mi Sefer Torah, and if in an event that he would do such a thing, again, I'm not saying that that's the standard procedure, but since that's a possibility, is therefore Be'inon, we need whatever the requirements that apply. Nimzal Fizeh, She'ein lichtov parsha sota she'bat Torah. In other words, the requirements, even when we get to say, it works like this. Again, just bigadol, as I say, we're only doing this chofef on the top surface. But when we write the parsha sefer Torah, we have to write it with all the conditions.
Potential.
That potentially I could use this parsha for sota. And what's the nafkamina? We'll get to the nafkamina of Shelo Kesidron in just 1 moment. But before we get to that, it works like this: that there's something called kankantum. Again, you have to know what the Google is on kankantum, but whatever it is, we'll Google it. And that's a drug, not a drug, a chemical, or whatever it is, that you add to the dio, which, in the case of a Sefer Torah, although it's not critical in a Sefer Torah, but it enhances the Sefer Torah. Why? Because that chemical makes it almost impossible to erase the letter. You know, we're not talking about Tipex, white out on top. But I'm saying it doesn't get erased with time. But the Gemara says on Daf Chaf in Sota that when you get to the parasha of Sota, leave out the kankantum, use a dio that doesn't have kankantum. Why? Because kankantum makes it impossible to erase the dio. And the mitzvah in the case of Sota is dafka to erase the dio. So therefore, ein lahatil kankantu b'tocha dio, when he gets to the ksiva of parsha sota b'tocha sefer Torah, because min adin mutal lakachas parsha sota min sefer v'chayshinon shema yasekein, and therefore be'inon she roy l'mechikos. So if he added kankantu to that particular parsha, now we get another nafkamina, because the parasha of Sota could be used from the Sefer Torah. Ein lichtov parasha Sota shebetorah shelo kesidra. Right? What do we say? There's a lechora, there's a kula in Sefer Torah that was Rabbi Kivega's kasha that doesn't apply to tefillin mezuzah. Maybe the Sefer Torah shalokas sidron is kasha. Ah, but when we get to the parsha of Sota, there the halacha is that you have to write a kesidron. Again, I don't know what's lechatchila, what's for the evidence, what's, you know, I don't, you could ask 1,000 questions here, but fundamentally you have to write the parsha of Sota in a way that it could be potentially used as a parsha Sota for the purpose of Hashkaz Sota, and that parsha has to be written kesedah. So therefore, according to this group of Achronim, and I'm pretty sure they can apply this to Megillah, but I don't see it now, maybe it's from one of the footnotes that I saw last night, that we apply maybe to Megillah's Esther as well, or maybe it's in one of the other answers here to Rabbi Kivega's Kasha. But be that as it may, the Mishnah could not have allowed itself the luxury of making it a bombastic, all-inclusive statement that there's a kula in Sefer Torah that it could be written Shalokas Sidram. Again, the Mishnah says there's a kula in Sefer Torah that could be written in any Lashon. That's absolute. That doesn't know of any exceptions. But such a statement with regard to Shalokas Sidram would be inappropriate, because there is at least one parsha of the Sefer Torah that has to be written Kesidra. Would that be mafkir, the mitzvah of Sefer Torah, or the mitzvah of Sota? I don't know. I know what you're about to ask.
I'm asking on the Kankantum, the Sefer Torah, it has to be written, does it require...
No, I think Kankantum, if I'm not mistaken, again, we really have to go, you know, these are smanges.
It's just an extra...
It's
like gallnut or something, some other, you know...
So it's an extra. It's not a required. It's still still kosher.
I'm just trying to see with my eye which one of these, which one of the five answers to Rav Kivega touches on Megillus Esther, but I can't find it right now. But I'm sure I saw it. Okay, so look, we have, let's say, 2 or 3 minutes left. Let's just, once we're already on this Rabbi Kivega, let's just mention a few other answers to Rabbi Kivega's kasha that are suggested by the Achronim. So Rabbi Kivega himself brings a tshuva from Nari Katzbi, I don't know who he is, and he writes that our Mishnah is only focused on what's called Dvarim Hanikarim Li Acharak Siva. In other words, you can look at the Ksav and you can immediately identify, for example, if it's written in a different language. But Shalokis Sidron Eino Nikar Ala Sefer El Bizman Haksiva Bilvad. When you look at the Sefer and in its final shape, you have no clue that it was written Shalokis Sidron. There's a very long piece of Torah here on this tshuva of the Mari Katzbi, but let's, you know, if we have time another day maybe, but let's now fast forward to the Chassam Sofer. He says the following. He claims that this difference between Sefer Torah, etc., as far as Shalokas Sidron, is implicit in our Mishnah. Why? Because why do you require Lashon Ashuris in the case of Tefillin of Mezuzah? That's because the pasuk says v'hayu, and Darshin and our derivation is behavayos on you. It's got to be in its original form. And he says the following. That's why. That's the source for Shalokas Sidron. We said that Rabbi Kivega quotes Mechilta that tefillin Shalokas Sidron are psulos, but he doesn't tell you why. Comes along with some sofer and he says, you know why it's possible? For the same reason that any lashon is possible, and that is because of the pasuk v'hayu. V'hayu means in its original form. And if you do it Shalokas Sidron, that's not the way the parsha was given. Then he quotes a tshuva of the Meshivas Nefesh, which is the Maril Tzins, and he writes that, and this is pretty way out. He says, "Hayef Shalom Shalom Pasul Tefillin Shenichtu Shalokas Sidron." He says when the Gemara establishes, or the Mechilt at least, that Shalokas Sidron is Pasul Tefillin, El Ba'ofen Shapsukim ksuvim lefanenu Shalokas Sidron. B'chai gav nepashut sha'af b'sefer Torah posel b'kaf shareyu osui likro bo. Ela mishum shayu makom lo b'she tefillin ksheros af b'chai gav nem b'nei she'enu masuyis lekriya l'kach yishmienu ha'machilta sha'af heim psul Shalokas Sidron nimtza she'en chilut bein sefer Torah l'tefillin mezuzah. And he says the following. Let's try to get to the main point of the Meshivas Nefesh. He says that the psul and tefillin of Shalokas Sidron applies only in the following scenario. that you could look at the psukim and it's out of order. In the written parsha of Tefillin, it's out of order. It's not just that, as I told you before, he fast forwarded, he left a blank space, and then he filled it in.
Right.
But he literally has it out of order. That's according to the Meshivas Nefesh, the Psul of Shulchan. Oh, so he says, therefore, the Mishnah would not have used that as a conscience because it's Pshita, he says, that the Sefer Torah is possible. Then he asks himself the following question. So why did the Mechilta have to set up this new drasha to tell me that in Tefillin it's possible? Obviously it's possible. He doesn't have the Seder or the Pesukim. So he says, herein lies the difference between Sefer Torah and Tefillin. The whole purpose of Sefer Torah is to read the Sefer Torah. And if you read it out of order, clearly you've undermined the whole mitzvah. But in the case of Tefillin, which is not Nitan L'Kriya, then all you need is to get all the Pesukim there and, you know, jumble it up like in Scrabble, you know, jumble Scrabble, and you get the entire parasha. That itself would be enough to be Masha the Tefillin. Called Mash Malon, that's the Chiddush L'maskana of the Mechilta, yeah, that there is a Psul of Shalokas Sidron and Tefillin.
But I thought it was a difference where it's Psul for Mezuzah and Tefillin, but it's not.
That was all before the Meshivas Nefesh. Yeah. So you're in the historical period before the Meshivas Nefesh.
Okay, so
right, up to the 1800s. Right? So your assumption was absolutely correct. Now there's a radical departure, and he's saying no. For sure in Sefer Torah, Shalokas Sidron is possible, just like it's possible in Tefillin. But what kind of Shalokas Sidron are we talking about? We're talking about Shalokas Sidron where the Pesukim are not written Kisidron. No, so you'll ask me the obvious question. In Sefer Torah, Pshita is possible, then why not say the same thing in Tefillin? Why did the Mechilta have to discover America here that Shalokas Sidron is possible in Tefillin?
But I
said, because the Hamid, there's no din of Kriya.
I thought this was an answer for Rabbi Akiva Eggers, who's pointing out that this is a difference between.
He's arguing with Rabbi Akiva Eggers.
He's saying that's
he's
not
completely,
even a difference.
He's saying Rabbi Akiva Eggers is working with the wrong premises.
Okay.
In fact, he introduces his answer by saying, Lule Divrei Rabbi Akiva Eggers. He's very nervous about it. All right, gentlemen, have a great day.